Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
Behind your pile of steaming Chesapeake Bay blue crabs are teams of scientists working hard to make sure there's enough out there to harvest. Back in 2016, a group of scientists from William & Mary's Virginia Institute of Marine Science said the Chesapeake Bay regional industry was losing millions of dollars worth of crabs to derelict crab pots, also called ghost pots. Glenn Davis chairs a federal-state crab stock assessment committee. He told a meeting of fisheries managers those numbers are wrong.
From the spatial model that was used to the data inputs to the assumptions that were made, is that at every step of the way that it created an overestimate in both the number of pots and the number of crabs that are caught within those pots.
Kirk Havens, director of the Coastal Watersheds Program for VIMS, is one of the scientists who conducted the study and co-authored the Derelict Crab Pot Report.
There has been some discussion amongst the managers on how big an impact the annual loss of 3 million crabs due to the derelict pots could have on the overall population of crabs in the bay. You know, it's probably relatively small compared to the overall population of crabs, which is in the hundreds of millions. But it is a known loss of market-sized crabs that can be managed.
But once the data is out, it's hard to take it back. In this case, the VIMS data has been used to market a solution to the derelict crab pots, biodegradable panels that would dissolve and leave an escape hole. Havens and his team are the inventors. A Richmond-based entrepreneur bought the license from William & Mary and began producing the panels using the VIMS data to market them. State Senator Monty Mason sponsored a bill to mandate biodegradable panels earlier this year and also use the data to gain support. That caught the attention of Daniel Knott, the waterman we interviewed for our previous story who is trying out the panels.
And you can see how brittle they become. They all failed at different levels, at a pretty good cost of time and energy to fix the pots once these panels started failing.
Cost was also a factor. These particular biodegradable panels cost upwards of $1.50 per pot compared to the 10-cent plastic cull rings they were using. Mason's bill required 2 per pot. Knott wrote several senators with his concerns. The bill was defeated. But Senator Mason says he'll keep working on the problem even if the VIMS data is off.
It's still a problem. It's not as big as we thought, but over year after year after year, it adds up. So we need to focus on address it. And that time will come. It's just a matter of when.
Havens said Knott was given older panels that proved to have a shorter shelf life. Wade Blackwood, the entrepreneur producing the panels, has a fifth generation that he says lasts longer. He's already asking watermen to test them.
Whether you lose one trap or 100, it's still a lost trap. It fishes for a certain period of time, whether it's a year, years, or till it gets full. It's still a problem.
Senator Mason says a new bill won't mandate biodegradable panels. Instead, he'll look at incentives such as bringing back a program that hired watermen to collect derelict pots during the off-season. And he'll consider including other types of less expensive biodegradable panels, like those used by other states such as Florida, where 7 different kinds of panels are allowed. From Gloucester, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.